Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself for what you're about to learn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's part two in a recent series that we started here on The Hour of the Time. And it's a wonderful recap, if you will, because about 4 to 5 years ago, I had done a series of broadcasting on the number of violations to the UN that Israel had committed. Zionist violations, if you will. And I did the broadcast because, oh, so many times when Israel wants to gang up on somebody in their region, that's the entity they run to first. Yet they seem to have the record for violations themselves. And you'll notice something about when violations recorded stopped as well. Seems awfully strange, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you missed part one in this series, you're going to want to catch up with that. And that was from last week, ladies and gentlemen. But tonight, which is Monday the 8th, of February 2010, is part two of our Zionist Violations series, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what's really ironic is this article was written at the end of January by Mr. Hammond and written for the Foreign Policy Journal that I take all this information from. And as I was reading the article, it was just point-blank ironic. Here was an article on something that I had done 4 or 5 years ago on the air. So it's a good recap, ladies and gentlemen, because it's got more modern stuff since my broadcast. So tonight, after the cursory information, of course, and the musical break at the beginning, so you can have something to take notes with, etc., because you're going to need to. There's a lot of numbers and dates tonight. Again, we will continue on tonight, part two in Zionist Violations. Now, if you'd like to write The Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. That's here in Arizona. And in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, my personal email address for hate mail, content suggestions for the broadcast, which we're open to, etc., is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that Hour of the Time is listener supported, and also don't forget that through your support is how we expand our working operation. We have some really unique online television, if you will, and satellite television and audio broadcasting opportunities open to us right now from a very large network. but we're only going to do it if you step up to bat. And you can support through donations for either outright or, better yet, for research materials in the form of MP3 broadcast, DVD presentations, written materials, etc. So go to our website, hourofthetime.com, and there's, of course, a donate button on the left column. But better yet, go to the Hot Shop. Get some materials for your research library and learning for your donation. That is how we expand our base of operation. And ladies and gentlemen, also, don't forget, if you're going to the Pennsylvania conference, per the posting on the front of the website, hourofthetime.com, please contact me at my email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, as soon as possible. We're working out last-minute arrangements. We need information now from many of you, such as a good mailing address, a phone number, etc., so that we can work out all the arrangements for the lodging with each of you, one-on-one basis, the lodging, advanced shipping for materials, etc. So contact me at my email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, ASAP, ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to the Pennsylvania conference in April. Now, with that all said, we are going to musical break. Get your notebooks, snacks, whatever, and be prepared to take lots of notes over the next hour. Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Again, the website, hourofthetime.com. The studio in Arizona, 928-333-2942. The studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. and my personal email address, again, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. You Pennsylvania conference people, contact me, please. Thank you very much as well in advance. Now to continue on, we were in barely 1980, ladies and gentlemen, when we left off in part one of Zionist violations. Resolution 467, dated April 24, 1980, quote, condemns all actions contrary to resolutions 425, 426, 427, 434, 444, 450, and 459, and in particularly strongly deplores any violation of Lebanese sovereignty and territorial integrity in Israel's military intervention into Lebanon. Resolution 468, May 8, 1980, expresses deep concern, quote, at the expulsion by the Israeli military occupation authorities of the mayors of Hebron and Halal and Sharia judge of Hebron, and calls upon the government of Israel as occupying power to rescind these illegal measures and facilitate the immediate return of the expelled Pakistani leaders so that they can resume the functions for which they were elected and appointed, end quote. Resolution 469, dated May 20, 1980, recalls the Fourth Geneva Convention, quote, and in particular Article 1, which reads, the high contracting parties undertake to respect and to ensure respect for the present convention in all circumstances. And Article 49, which reads, individual or mass forcible transfers, as well as deportations of protected persons from the occupied territory to the territory of the occupying power or to that of any other country, occupied or not, are prohibited, regardless of their motive. Quote, strongly deplores the failure of the government of Israel to implement Security Council Resolution 468, dated May 8, 1980, just 12 days prior. Quote, calls again upon the government of Israel as occupying power to rescind the illegal measures taken by the Israeli military occupation authorities in expelling the mayors of Hebron and Halul and Sharish judge of Hebron, and to facilitate the immediate return of the expelled Palestinian leaders, ladies and gentlemen, so that they can resume their functions for which they were elected and appointed. Palestinian leaders, ladies and gentlemen. End quote. Resolution 471, dated June 5, 1980, recalls, quote unquote, once again, the Fourth Geneva Convention, quote, and in particular Article 27, which reads, protected persons are entitled, in all circumstances, to respect for their persons. They shall at all times be humanely treated, and shall be protected especially against all acts of violence or threats thereof. End quote. Resolution 471 also reaffirms the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention, quote, to the Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, that the Jewish settlers in the occupied Arab territories are allowed to carry arms, thus enabling them to perpetrate crimes against the civilian Arab population, condemns the assassination attempts against the mayors of Nablus, Ramallah, and Al-Baray, and calls for the immediate apprehension and prosecution of the perpetrators of these crimes, expresses deep concern that Israel, as the occupying power, has failed to provide adequate protection to the civilian population in the occupied territories in conformity with the provisions of the Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in time of war, end quote. Resolution 471 also goes on and calls on Israel, quote, to provide the victims with adequate compensation for the damage suffered as a result of these crimes. Calls again upon the government of Israel to respect and to comply with the provisions of the Fourth Geneva Convention and the relevant resolutions of the Security Council. Calls once again upon all states not to provide Israel with any assistance to be used specifically in connection with settlements in the occupied territories, which would mean military aid, ladies and gentlemen, as well, reaffirming the overriding necessity to end the prolonged occupation of Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, end quote. That was all taken June 5th, 1980, Resolution 471. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I pose the question. Many of you found it better just not answer the question but waste my time with an email like, oh, you're going to pay for this broadcast. Well, piss on you. Don't tell me I'm going to pay for this broadcast. How stupid. Secondly, don't tell me in an email a bunch of meanderings when I ask some simple things, some simple ideas out there I told you to think about and give me some input on. What do you think? That's what I asked. Being that the UN was founded by and for world government proponents, communists, and socialists, being their first major act was to recognize the current political or geopolitical boundaries thereof of the state of Israel, it's kind of a chicken and the egg scenario, isn't it? So who founded what for what purpose, ladies and gentlemen? To offer protection under the guise of this world watchdog cop for abuses and violations? Or did the world watchdog cop get founded and then have a parallel state as one of their crowning achievements and first achievements of the socialist world government proponents and communists to constantly look at, cause international strife, drain other economies through the use of aid? That's what I asked. Now, June 30, 1980, Resolution 476 reaffirms that the acquisition of territory by force is inadmissible. The persistence of Israel in changing the physical character, demographic composition, institutional structure, and the status of the holy city of Jerusalem. End quote. It goes on to express grave concern, quote, over the legislative steps initiated in the Israeli Knesset with the aim of changing the character and status of the holy city of Jerusalem. The overriding necessity to end the prolonged occupation of Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, strongly deplores the continued refusal of Israel, the occupying power, to comply with the relevant resolutions of the Security Council and the General Assembly. Reconfirms that all legislative and administrative measures and actions taken by Israel, the occupying power, which purport to lay later the character and status of the holy city of Jerusalem, have no legal validity and constitute a flagrant violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention. Reiterates that all such measures are null and void and must be rescinded in compliance with the relevant resolutions of the Security Council, urgently calls on Israel, the occupying power, to abide by this and previous Security Council resolutions and to desist forthwith from persisting in the policy and measures affecting the character and status of the holy city of Jerusalem, end quote. That was Resolution 476, dated June 30, 1980. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, some things to ponder. Why does the state of Israel constantly go about demanding that other countries that they leech off of, like the United States, or entities like the UN, constantly side with them and gang up on neighbors, yet them, as a higher level signatory membership state in the United Nations, constantly ignore dictates. Seems to me like they only use it when it's convenient for them. But you decide. I'm just giving you points of order. Now, Resolution 478, dated August 20, 1980, reaffirms, quote, again, that the acquisition of territory by force is inadmissible, that Israel has not complied with Resolution 476, censors in the strongest terms the enactment by Israel of the Basic Law on Jerusalem, and that the refusal to comply with relevant Security Council resolutions affirms that the enactment of the Basic Law, as it's called by Israel, constitutes a violation of international law, determines that all legislative and administrative measures and actions taken by Israel, the occupying power, which have altered or purport to alter the character and status of the holy city of Jerusalem, and in particular the recent so-called Basic Law on Jerusalem, are null and void and must be rescinded forthwith, end quote. Resolution 484, December 19, 1980, expresses, quote, grave concern at the expulsion by Israel of the mayor of Hebron and the mayor of Halhul, reaffirms the application of the Fourth Geneva Convention to all the Arab territories occupied by Israel in 1967, calls upon Israel, the occupying power, to adhere to the provisions of the convention, declares it imperative that the mayor of Hebron and the mayor of Halul be enabled to return to their homes and resume their responsibilities, end quote. That from Resolution 484 of December 19th, 1980. June 19th, 1981. Saw Resolution 487 expresses full awareness, quote, of the fact that Iraq has been a party to the treaty on the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons since it came into force in 1970, and in accordance with that treaty, Iraq has accepted IAEA safeguards on all its nuclear activities, and that the agency has testified that these safeguards have been satisfactorily applied to date. Let's read that one again, that opening. Again, June 19th, 1981, Resolution 487, expresses full awareness, quote, of the fact that Iraq has been a party to the treaty on the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons since it came into force in 1970, that in accordance with that treaty, Iraq has accepted IAEA safeguards on all its nuclear activities, and that the agency has testified that these safeguards have been satisfactorily applied to date. Furthermore, that Israel has not adhered to the non-proliferation treaty. Then expresses deep concern, quote, about the danger to international peace and security created by the premeditated Israeli air attack on Iraqi nuclear installations on 7th of June 1981, which could at any time explode the situation in the area, with grave consequences for the vital instruments of all states. Strongly condemns the military attack by Israel in clear violation of the Charter of the United Nations and the norms of international conduct. Further considers that the said attack constitutes a serious threat to the entire IAEA safeguards regime, which is the foundation of the non-proliferation treaty, end quote. And it goes on to say, quote, fully recognizes the inalienable sovereign right of Iraq and all other states, especially developing countries, to establish programs of technological and nuclear development to develop their economy and industry for peaceful purposes in accordance with their present and future needs and consistent with the internationally accepted objectives of preventing nuclear weapons proliferation, calls upon Israel urgently to place its nuclear facilities under IAEA safeguards. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to the two quotes back. Quote, further considers that the said attack constitutes a serious threat to the entire IAEA safeguards regime, which is the foundation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Fully recognizes the inalienable sovereign right of Iraq and all other states, especially the developing countries, to establish programs of technological and nuclear development to develop their economy and industry for peaceful purposes in accordance with their present and future needs and consistent with the internationally accepted objectives of preventing nuclear weapons proliferation, end quote. And then, quote, calls upon Israel urgently to place its nuclear facilities under IAEA safeguards. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think you can see why neighbors over there would get a little nervous when they have every right, the same status and playing field as us here in the United States, to develop nuclear weapons programs that aren't for aggression, but are for technological advancement. So in other words, non-weapon programs. Non-proliferation. And they abide by some regional treaty. Yet Israel comes out and airstrikes their facilities, doesn't join the treaties, doesn't join any safeguard, leaving them the ability to say, well, we never join, we can do what we want. So you can see why maybe neighbors start to develop other things in their nuclear program. They're probably a little nervous because of the runaway power that is existing over there in the so-called state of Israel. Now, Resolution 497 of December 17, 1981. Reaffirms, quote, that the acquisition of territory by force is inadmissible in accordance with the United Nations Charter, the principles of international law, and relevant Security Council resolutions, decides that the Israeli decision to impose its laws, jurisdiction, and administration in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights is null and void and without international legal effect. Demands that Israel, the occupying power, should rescind forthwith its decision, determines that all the provisions of the Fourth Geneva Convention continue to apply to the Syrian territory occupied by Israel since June 1967. That from Resolution 497, December 17, 1981, end quote. ladies and gentlemen. Again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our website, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The number for the studio in Arizona, 928-333-2942. The studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this evening is part two in our Zionist Violations series. So I'm sure we'll be hacked again, like happened last time when we aired part one, but oh well. I mean, I don't mean that to be rude, because Rob ends up with a lot of extra work. But I guess it's just indicative of the topic to be covered. Now tonight, again Monday, the 8th of January, 2010, we'll move on to Resolution 501 of February 25th, 1982. Reaffirms Resolution 425, calling upon Israel to cease its military action against Lebanon. Resolution 509, June 6, 1982. Demands that Israel withdraw all its military forces forthwith and unconditionally to the internationally recognized boundaries of Lebanon, end quote. Again, Resolution 509 of June 6, 1982. Then, in July 29, 1982, Resolution 515, quote, demands that the government of Israel lift immediately the blockade of the city of Beirut in order to permit the dispatch of supplies to meet the urgent needs of the civilian population and allow the distribution of aid provided by United Nations agencies and by non-governmental organizations, NGOs, particularly the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC. And, ladies and gentlemen, I was all foobar earlier and mentioned three times IAEA, and I should have more properly told you the full name, International Atomic Energy Agency. International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA. I try not to do acronyms right off the bat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, dated August 4th, 1982, Resolution 517, expresses deep shock and alarm, quote, by the deplorable consequences of the Israeli invasion of Beirut on 3rd of August, 1982, confirms once again its demand for an immediate ceasefire and withdrawal of Israeli forces from Lebanon, censors Israel for its failure to comply with Resolutions 508, 509, 512, 513, 515, and 516, end quote. That was from 82, ladies and gentlemen. And another one here, just 8 days later, August 12th, 1982, Resolution 518. Resolution 518, quote, demands that Israel and all parties to the conflict observe strictly the terms of Security Council resolutions relevant to the immediate cessation of all military activities within Lebanon and particularly in and around Beirut. Demands the immediate lifting of all restrictions on the city of Beirut in order to permit the free entry of supplies to meet the urgent needs of the civilian population in Beirut, end quote. From Resolution 518, August 12th, 1982, ladies and gentlemen. Now, September 17th, 1982, Resolution 520, quote, condemns the recent Israeli incursions into Beirut in violation of the ceasefire agreements and of Security Council resolution demands an immediate return to the positions occupied by Israel before September 15, 1982, as a first step towards the full implementation of Security Council resolutions, end quote. Resolution 521, 2 days later, September 19th, 1982, quote, condemns the criminal massacre of Palestinian civilians in Beirut, end quote, in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps. Quote, condemns the criminal massacre of Palestinian civilians in Beirut, end quote. September 19th, 1982, taken from Resolution 521. Resolution 573, October 4th, 1985, quote, condemns vigorously the act of armed aggression perpetrated by Israel against Tunisian territory in flagrant violation of the Charter of the United Nations, international law, and norms of conduct, end quote. Then on to Resolution 592 of December 8, 1986. Resolution 592, December 8, 1986, reaffirms that the Fourth Geneva Convention, quote, is applicable to the Palestinian and other Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, strongly deplores the opening of fire by the Israeli army resulting in the death and wounding of defenseless students, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we go along here, I hope you're thinking about the ideas I told you to mull over. So, is the UN just a puppet entity of Zionists? Or are Zionists a puppet of the UN? Let me hear from you. I know my opinion. The UN is just another Zionist tool, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Resolution 605, December 22nd, 1987, quote, strongly deplores those policies and practices of Israel, the occupying power, which violate the human rights of the Palestinian people in the occupied territories, and in particular, the opening of fire by the Israeli army, resulting in the killing and wounding of defenseless Palestinian civilians, and reaffirms the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention, quote, to the Palestinian and other Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, end quote. Now, not long after that, January 5th, 1988, Resolution 607. Expresses, quote, grave concern over the situation in the occupied Palestinian territories, the decision of Israel, the occupying power, to continue the deportation of Palestinian civilians in the occupied territories, reaffirms once again the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention to Palestinian and other Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, calls upon Israel to refrain from deporting any Palestinian civilians from the occupied territories, strongly request Israel, the occupying power, to abide by its obligations arising from the convention, end quote. Now, 9 days later, January 14, 1988, Resolution 608 reaffirms Resolution 607, expresses, quote, deep regret that Israel, the occupying power, has, in defiance of that resolution, deported Palestinian civilians, calls upon Israel to rescind the order to deport Palestinian civilians and to ensure the safe and immediate return to the occupied Palestinian territories of those already deported, end quote. And then 3 months later, and 11 days, Resolution 611, April 25th, 1988. Resolution 611 notes, quote, with concern that the aggression perpetrated by Israel on April 16th, 1988, in the locality of Sidi Bou Said, Tunisia, has caused loss of human life, particularly the assassination of Mr. Khalil El-Wazir, condemns vigorously the aggression perpetrated against the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Tunisia in flagrant violation of the Charter of the United Nations, international law, and norms of conduct, end quote. Now, moving on to July 6, 1989, Resolution 636. Resolution 636, July 6, 1989. It reaffirms Resolution 607 and 608. Notes, quote, that Israel, the occupying power, has once again, in defiance of those resolutions, deported 8 Palestinian civilians on 29th June 1989. The continuing deportation by Israel, the occupying power, of Palestinian civilians, calls upon Israel to ensure the safe and immediate return to the occupied Palestinian territories of those deported and to desist forthwith from deporting any other Palestinian civilians, reaffirms that the Fourth Geneva Convention is applicable to the Palestinian territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem and two other occupied Arab territories.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight, February 8th, 2010, Monday, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time, the website, hourofthetime.com, my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. And in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're taking studious notes. October 12th, 1990. Resolution 672, again, October 12th, 1990, Resolution 672. Quote, expresses alarm at the violence which took place on October 8th, 1990, at the Al Haram al-Sharif and other holy places of Jerusalem, resulting in over 20 Palestinian deaths and to the injury of more than 150 people, including Palestinian civilians and innocent worshipers, condemns especially the acts of violence committed by the Israeli forces, resulting in injuries and loss of human life, request in connection with the decision of the Secretary General to send a mission to the region, which the Council welcomes, that he submit a report to it before the end of October 1990, containing his findings and conclusions, and that he use as appropriate all the resources of the United Nations in the region in carrying out the mission, end quote. So, 12 days later, October 24, 1990, Resolution 673. Quote, deplores the refusal of the Israeli government to receive the mission of the Secretary General to the region. Urges the Israeli government to reconsider its decision and insist that it comply fully with Resolution 672, 12 days earlier, and to permit the mission of the Secretary General to proceed in keeping with its purpose, end quote. Now, December 20th, 1990, Resolution 681. Resolution 681, December 20, 1990. Reaffirms, quote, the obligations of member states under the United Nations Charter, also the principle of the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by war, end quote, expresses alarm, quote, by the decision of the government of Israel to deport 4 Palestinians from the occupied territories in contravention of its obligations under the 4th Geneva Convention, in contravention to Resolution 607, 608, 636, and 641, expresses its grave concerns over the rejection by Israel of Security Council Resolutions 672 and 673, and deplores the decision by the government of Israel, the occupying power, to resume deportations of Palestinian civilians in the occupied territories, end quote. Now, not long after that, May 24, 1991, Resolution 694 reaffirms Resolution 681, calling on Israel to respect the 4th Geneva Convention, notes, quote, with deep concern and consternation that Israel has, in violation of its obligations under the 4th Geneva Convention of 1949, and acting in opposition to relevant Security Council resolutions and to the detriment of efforts to achieve a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East deported for Palestinian civilians on May 18th, 1991, which was 6 days earlier, ladies and gentlemen, quote, declares that the action of the Israeli authorities of deporting four Palestinians is in violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which is applicable to all the Palestinian territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, and deplores this action and reiterates that Israel, the occupying power, refrain from deporting any Palestinian civilian from the occupied territories and ensure the safe and immediate return of all those deported. End quote. January 6, 1992. Resolution 726. January 6, 1992. Resolution 726 recalls Resolutions 607, 608, 636, 641, and 694, calling on Israel to respect the Fourth Geneva Convention, quote, strongly condemns the decision of Israel, the occupying power, to resume deportations of Palestinian civilians, reaffirms the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention to all the Palestinian territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, requests Israel, the occupying power, to ensure the safe and immediate return to the occupied territories of all those deported, ladies and gentlemen, end quote. Not the ladies and gentlemen part. I seem to see a long train of Security Council violations, ladies and gentlemen. Yet it's funny if other entities have a history of violations, they get attacked and bombed and invaded. Ladies and gentlemen, who controls who in this little sphere? Resolution 799, December 18, 1992. Resolution 799, December 18, 1992. Reaffirms Resolutions 607, 608, 636, 641, 681, 694, and 726, calling on Israel to respect the Fourth Geneva Convention. Notes, quote, with deep concern that Israel, the occupying power, in contravention of its obligations under the Fourth Geneva Convention, deported to Lebanon on December 17, 1992, hundreds of Palestinian civilians from the territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, strongly condemns the action taken by Israel, the occupying power, to deport hundreds of Palestinian civilians and expresses its firm opposition to any such deportation by Israel. Reaffirms the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention to all the Palestinian territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, and affirms that deportation of civilians constitutes a contravention, demands that Israel, the occupying power, ensure the safe and immediate return to the occupied territories of all those deported. End quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, March 18, 1994. Resolution 904. March 18, 1994. Resolution 904 expresses shock at, quote, the appalling massacre committed against Palestinian worshipers in the Mosque of Ibrahim in Hebron on February 25, 1994, by Jewish settler Barak Goldstein during the holy month of Ramadan, end quote, expresses grave concern with, quote, the consequent Palestinian casualties in the occupied Palestinian territory as a result of the massacre, which underlines the need to provide protection and security for the Palestinian people. The condemnation of this massacre by the entire international community strongly condemns the massacre in Hebron and its aftermath, which took the lives of more than 50 Palestinian civilians and injured several hundred others, calls upon Israel, the occupying power, to continue to take and implement measures, including confiscation of arms with the aim of preventing illegal acts of violence by Israeli settlers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's intra alia, and what that meant, end quote, by the way, was that Israel had entered upon a policy of taking and disarming and confiscating from Palestinian civilians their arms.